Happy Monday and happy week of Christmas. I cannot believe Christmas is so close. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I am your host, NESN's Lauren Campbell. And today we're going to be giving you a little bit of an update on what's going on with the Hall of Fame ballot voting. So let's just get right into it.
Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. And we're almost a month away now from getting the official Hall of Fame inductees and who's going to get into the 2022 Hall of Fame class. And we do have a little bit of an update on the ballot voting. If you are not following Ryan Thibodeau on Twitter, whose at is at not Mr. Tibbs, you are missing out. He is absolutely incredible at what he does. He keeps track of the ballots that come in. He has this incredible spreadsheet that has everything laid out, everything you could ever need to know about who's in the Hall of Fame ballot voting, who's doing well, who's not getting any votes, the percentage. It's incredible what he does and the work he puts into this. Unreal. So as of Monday at 9:37 a.m., this is when I am recording this, there are 40 known ballots that have been submitted. Two are anonymous, and the other 38 have been made public. So there's a ton of stuff to talk about with this ballot because it is an incredibly polarizing class, as we have talked about on previous shows here. You have people like Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. They are in their 10th and final year of eligibility to get into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go over a few people who are running away with what the number of ballots in right now, and the people who are just really teetering, they're so close, and there's still a ton of ballots to still be submitted, but it's trending in the right direction for some, and others, not so much. So the first two I want to talk about are Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Like I said, both of them, this is their final year to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and as it stands, as of Monday morning, they both have 80% of the vote. You do need 75% of the vote to get into the Hall of Fame. So right now, if the voting were to be done, if it was closed today and this was your results, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens would be Hall of Famers. Barry Bonds was very close last year. He is a very, very interesting case because he did accomplish so much before the whole steroid thing happened. And now looking at Barry Bonds from when he came into MLB to when he was just an incredible house of a human being, I think it was pretty obvious what was going on there. Roger Clemens as well is a very interesting person. He testified under oath that he never did steroids. I think that obviously what he did in Boston, I think that right there makes him a Hall of Famer. I think both of these guys ultimately do get into the Hall of Fame. I think both of them are Hall of Famers. And even though there are only 40 ballots, that's about 10% of the vote. There's still a ton of ballots to come in. Those numbers very well could fluctuate. They could go down. They could tank. But right now it's trending in the right direction for both Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, who have 80% of the vote right now. Curt Schilling is another very interesting case. He is also in his 10th and final year of eligibility. He asked the writers in the Hall of Fame that he didn't even want to be on the ballot this year. He wanted it to be done. He was like, I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame. Screw this. I'm done. And it was unanimously rejected. They were saying, no, like, this is your 10th year. You're gonna stay on the ballot. So whatever. And as of Monday morning, Curt Schilling has 62.5% of the vote. So he's just a little shy right now, but he is close enough to make you wonder, is he going to get enough votes to get into the Hall of Fame? Curt Schilling, without a doubt, is probably the most interesting person on here because of everything that has gone on with him since he left baseball, particularly over the last few years of him saying an array of different things that were definitely incredibly questionable. His character came into question. He was fired from ESPN. But again, when we had Ian Brown on the show 2 weeks ago, he did say, really, since he came out and said, don't put me on the ballot anymore, and that was rejected, he's kind of stayed out of the spotlight. He's kind of kept to himself. He hasn't been in the headlines. He hasn't been saying anything stupid. And even though things he said, things that he was posting on Twitter, things he said online, even though some of them, you look at them and be like, how the heck could anybody say these kinds of things? You look at what he did on the field. You take that out of it. And he's still teetering that line. So he's at 62.5%. So 12.5% to go. Again, there's only 40 ballots. 10% of the votes are in right now. So that's, you know, like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, that number could skyrocket, that number could plummet. You never know how the next month of voting is going to go. He's an incredibly interesting case. We talked with Ian Brown about this, that even though he doesn't have 300 wins, he doesn't have Cy Young Awards, but he has over 3,000 strikeouts. What he did in the postseason, just absolutely incredible. You think of his consistency over the 20-year career Schilling had. Obviously, Red Sox fans go right to the bloody sock and they think of that and what he did for the Red Sox in the 2004 postseason. And for him to be so consistent throughout those 20 years and continue to put up good numbers and not get a Cy Young Award makes those numbers a little more impressive. Again, I know he's incredibly polarizing. He's the person who's looked at probably the most on this ballot because it is his last year. He doesn't even want to be in the Hall of Fame, so he claims he wanted to be off this ballot. And he's 12.5% of the vote away from getting into the Hall of Fame. Who knows if he does get in, if he'll probably be invited to the ceremony. Who knows if he'll go? Who knows if he'll give some sort of speech? Who knows? We still have a month to go until we even talk about that and who gets into the Hall of Fame and who doesn't. So he is just a little behind at the moment, but he is hanging on. You know, there's nothing to say if he's definitely out of it. He's not Sammy Sosa here with 17.5% of the vote or Omar Vizquel with 15% of the vote. You know, he's teetering. He's right there and he very well could get in. It's also worth noting that Scott Rowland, who is in his fifth year of eligibility, he has 70% of the vote right now. So he's another one who's really interesting to keep our eye on because a lot of writers have been voting for him. We still have a few other people to talk about in the Hall of Fame voting, especially David Ortiz. We are going to do that in our second segment of Locked On Red Sox. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar. By now, you probably know how much I love Built Bar. It is my favorite protein bar out there. And now that it's the holiday season, you have to grab the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, or honestly, even better than a candy bar. And Built Bars are filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but they are amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and they're filled with protein. Honestly, you get the best of both worlds with them being delicious and healthy. You'll have a hard time choosing what your flavor is because there are so many amazing flavors. There's raspberry, mint brownie, there's cherry. There's my personal favorite, cookies and cream. Absolutely love it. It is so good. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all of the holiday shoppers. I've got my cookies and cream bar ready to go. I'm going finishing my Christmas shopping after this episode. So I certainly will need a Built Bar to get me through the final leg of my shopping. So don't forget to throw one in your jacket, your purse. You never know when you're going to need it. But because it's the season of peace and love, do not bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavors, they'll fight for it and things could get out of hand. But what's a family gathering without a little drama, right? Tell Santa to also throw a few Built Bars in your friend's stockings. With so many flavors, they'd make everyone's Christmas morning a happy one. And let me let you in on a little holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of hot chocolate. And it melts a little bit. It gives your beverage that little bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, you have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. Be sure to have a couple of napkins on hand because it could get a little messy. You also need to get your hands on the Built Bar Puffs. They're so light, they're fluffy, they're marshmallowy through and through. There's different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate. They taste so good. You will not know they're filled with protein. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Let's keep talking about this Hall of Fame ballot. So David Ortiz is in his first year of eligibility. He's probably someone who's going to get into the Hall of Fame no matter what. I honestly thought maybe he won't be a first ballot Hall of Famer just because his past is so iffy and maybe a little tainted because of potential positive tests for steroids back in the early 2000s. But right now, he is running away with first place votes. He has 82.5% of the votes. It is his first year of eligibility to get into the Hall of Fame, and people are voting for him. I know it's still early. I know there's a lot of votes out there and a lot of ballots that still need to get sent in. But right now, it is trending in the right direction for Ortiz. 82.5% of the vote. And like I said, I was a little iffy if he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer because of his past. He was never confirmed to have tested positive. There was that report that had come out that he had tested positive in 2003, I believe it was. But once MLB started drug testing regularly, he never tested positive. Commissioner Rob Manfred even came out and said that this shouldn't impact how people vote for him and he should be in the Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. And for all the people out there who were questioning whether he belonged in the Hall of Fame, not so much because of potential positive tests for steroids, but also because he was a designated hitter, didn't play a ton of defense, obviously. But what he did at the plate was just absolutely incredible. Most clutch DH seems like in MLB history, Red Sox history, MLB, the Red Sox postseason, just everything he did, he was unbelievably clutch. You wanted him at the plate. Whether the bases were loaded with two outs and a full count, whether it was a one-run game, whether the Red Sox up were fit by 15 runs, you wanted Ortiz at the plate. So even though he did have a bit of a murky past, like I said, with those maybe we don't really know if he tested positive, these writers are voting for him. And there's only two anonymous ballots who have not been made public. The other 38 have, and most of them have voted for David Ortiz. There have been some interesting ones that left him off, but also voted for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And it's kind of like, what are you doing? If you don't believe Ortiz should be in the Hall of Fame, do you really believe Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame or vice versa? There's a lot of people on this ballot that could be, do you let X in without letting Y in and vice versa? But I'm super happy for David Ortiz. I love seeing him so high with the amount of votes he's gotten so far. Still a long way to go ballot-wise, but being able to look at these numbers, see that he has over 82% of votes right now is certainly good news. Now, like the others, those numbers could drastically drop, but right now it is smooth sailing for Ortiz. Right now, it looks like he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, which would be awesome. He certainly deserves it. So it's going to be a very interesting next few weeks to see his numbers and Barry Bonds' numbers, Schilling's numbers, Clemens' numbers, and also even A-Rod's numbers. His are not very good right now. Right now, he only has 47.5%. He still has a long way to go, a lot of ground to make up. And so does Manny Ramirez. He has 42.5% of the vote. He is in his sixth year of eligibility. A-Rod, like Ortiz, is in his first year. So if I had to guess, I don't think A-Rod is going to get in on the first ballot. He's a very interesting case as well because he did accomplish a lot, but he used steroids for a lot of his career. He was suspended. He admitted to it. But I look at it as his suspension, you know, he did do his time. Are writers going to look at that as well and be like, well, he admitted to it. He served his time. He did his suspensions. He was away from baseball for a year and was suspended other times for positive steroid tests. Is him doing the time and being suspended enough for writers to eventually put him in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, but he was certainly one of the best hitters because of the steroids. But at the end of the day, you still have to be a good athlete. You have to be a good ball player to make MLB. So I'll be very interested to see. I don't think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, a lot of people on this ballot are interesting cases, but Clemens, A-Rod, Ortiz, Barry Bonds, Curt Schilling, you have so many polarizing people. that so many people like me that are my age that grew up watching these guys that watched most of, if not their entire careers, maybe not so much Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens because they were toward more the end of their careers. It's going to be very, very interesting to see over the course of the next 9 years, really, to see how writers vote for A-Rod, whether he gets more votes going forward, fewer votes. Is he going to slip into like the 30s, 25% range? And he could very well do that this season. But years going forward, when you think of his past, and even though he quote unquote served his time when he was suspended, it makes you wonder if writers are going to be more lenient and be like, oh, okay, well, even though he tested positive, even though he admitted it, he was suspended, he did his time, he was away from baseball, he still put up these incredible numbers, he still deserves a vote. Or are they going to look at that and be like, no, he was suspended for popping positive tests, I'm not voting for him. So the next few weeks definitely are going to be fun in the voting pool here. I'm very excited to see more ballots come in and see how writers continue to vote, because some of them, I don't know what they're doing. And others, I was like, wow, you voted for everyone I would have if I got a Hall of Fame vote. My favorite part about this Hall of Fame voting is that the writers who decide to make their ballot public, because you're able to kind of see, you know, the Ken Rosenthals, how kind of get in their head and see what they're thinking, who obviously who they're voting for. However, there is one writer who refused to vote this year. He did not vote last year, and he only voted for Derek Jeter in the last three seasons. So he's only voted for one player, and that was Derek Jeter, who obviously is in the Hall of Fame. And my thing is, it is whatever. You have a vote for the Hall of Fame. You can do whatever you want with it. And if that means you don't want to vote, whatever. I think it's a little dumb, but like I said, it's not my vote. But you have the privilege to vote for these incredible baseball players. And you're going to tell me you look at that 2022 Hall of Fame ballot and say, no, not one single person on this ballot deserves a vote. I don't really know what to do. I don't really know what to say, because like I said, not my vote, not my problem, but you have the privilege and the honor to put somebody into baseball history, and you truly believe not one person deserves a vote. Okay, I guess. But we are going to close this show on a positive note, like we always do right here on Locked On Red Sox. We will do that in our third segment. But first, I need to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered all season, which means more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. I cannot believe we are almost at the end of football regular season already. The season just absolutely flew by. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website right now and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. As we always do, I'm going to end this show on a positive note. I really need to shout out my co-host, Jake Iggy, for just taking the lead last week. He edited and produced every show last week. He took the lead in getting our amazing guests last week. And during a week where it was a struggle for me, I get chronic migraines, I deal with migraines. The last month has been incredibly tough on me migraine-wise. He just took the lead without any questions. He made sure everything was published and ready to go and scheduled. I could not have gotten through last week without him. So I hope you are enjoying Jake and his analysis and what he brings to the show already as much as I am. He's a great person. Even he's a better person than he is a co-host. So big shout out to him. He's absolutely killing the Twitter game as well. So I had to use my little positive note here to just give him a shout out, because I would not be here this week without him if he could not do what he did last week. But that will do it for Monday's episode of Locked On Red Sox. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. Follow Jake as well at Jake Iggy and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter podcast at LO_Red Sox. Be sure to check out all of my work on NESN.com as well. Tons of Bruins and Patriots coverage right now. Everything is a little wild with all the COVID shutdowns and the COVID cases rising throughout the leagues. Be sure to check out all of that. Also, be sure to check out all of the other shows across the Locked On Network, Locked On Yankees, Locked On A's. Everyone does an incredible job here at Locked On. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. When you do, you'll never miss an episode. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Red Sox. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, head on over to Locked On Bets to make it your second listen. Locked On Bets is your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. It's hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Be sure to check back later this week. We have an incredible lineup of guests coming. We will see you later this week.